Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Fasting is scriptural. It's God's idea. It was God's idea. There are lots of examples in scripture about fasting, including Jesus. And Jesus is our example, and Jesus fasted. And he would even instruct us to fast, and we'll talk about that. Fasting is scriptural. Fasting is also is spiritual. It affects us physically, but it is a spiritual stance. It involves the physical, but it's spiritual. And in fact, there is a spiritual mystery about fasting, a mystery that I don't understand. Years ago, I read a book by Bill Bright. Bill Bright was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. And Bill wrote about fasting, and it just stuck with me ever since. He said, I don't understand it, but he said, I wonder if it has something to do with operating in the opposite spirit as the very first sin. The very first sin about taking food to yourself. Instead of obeying God, taking food, this is choosing to refuse food. Now, both are about following God. It was never just about the food. There was nothing wrong with the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't that was evil. It was they chose food over following God. And we're entering a week where we will choose to draw away from food and draw near to God. It's spiritual. The difficulty is when we call a corporate fast, it's very public, but loved ones, your response is very personal. We don't have a sign-up sheet at the back to say, what are you fasting, how much are you fasting, and you know, we don't have a thermometer of who's fasting the most or anything like that. And part of the fasting is, and the reason why I'm talking about it is we really want to do this right. Because in the Old Testament, God would speak pretty strongly to his people who were fasting wrong. They were going without food, but they were as nasty as ever. And we don't want to do that. We can do the right thing at the wrong time. We can do the wrong thing at the right time. We can do the wrong thing at the wrong time. What we really want to do in this next week is we want to do the right thing at the right time. Right? Yeah. One of the things about Christmas for so many people is the food. Let me just pull this down. is the food. There are foods that only come out at Christmas. And sometimes people will say, oh, we always have this type of food, whatever it is. People will bring food to offices or to schools or to gatherings. Sometimes we give food as gifts, Gordon Maria. Christmas parties and banquets and dinners, staff lunches, family, friends. I mean, food can be such a big part of Christmas. Donations to the food bank and shelters go up because we want to make sure that Christmas, that everybody has the opportunity to have a meal at Christmas, a Christmas dinner. And Christmas really is a time for feasting. One of the songs that we sing at Christmas is Noel. Noel. But I don't want to talk about Noel. I want to talk about Noe. And that's moving from feasting with Noe turns into fasting. And that's where we're headed. Christmas is not a great time to fast, but January is. Every year at Cornerstone Church, we join all the other Foursquare churches in Canada, Shauna mentioned, and set aside a week to pray and fast. The Global Foursquare Church does it for 21 days. For some, it's a spiritual discipline. Just like we start, many people start the day with the Lord. Devotions and consecration, dedication, start the day with the Lord. We're starting the year with the Lord. We're setting our year. We're setting things foundationally right as a church. We're starting by fasting and praying, knowing we are desperate for God. We can't do church without God. You don't have to be a Foursquare church to fast and pray. There are so many churches across the globe in January who just set the year right by starting off fasting and praying. And prayer is a big part of it. Fasting is not a hunger strike to somehow show God how serious we are. And fasting is not somehow to get God to align with our plans and our prayer requests. But instead, fasting is us aligning with his will. It's not about moving God. It's about moving us in blessing's way. It's getting us in the right place. And prayer is a big part of it. Feasting and fasting, both are scriptural, and there are so many times God instructs his people and gathers them together to feast. Hooray! But there are other times when he calls us together to consecrate a fast, to set aside this time. And both are scriptural, and both have different meanings, different reasons, different motivations. Feasting, that's celebrative. Fasting, that's consecration. Fasting, and we need to understand this because it's January, fasting is not somehow to pay for feasting. Fasting is not about a diet. It's about a dedication, and I am living proof that fasting, you'll gain it all back. Fasting is not focused on what you give up. It's focused on what we're giving ourselves to. We're giving ourselves to the Lord. It's not what are we giving up, it's what are we giving ourselves to. We take time away from when we would normally be eating, and we give that time to prayer. We draw away from food, and we draw near to God. And it's only for a season. In fact, Jesus said, if you do it at the wrong season, you're going to wreck everything. Hey, Jesus, how come we fast, but your disciples don't? He said, it's the wrong time. They're missing it. And he explained it like this. He said, if you have a garment that gets a hole in it, and you put an unshrunk piece of a garment on it, and you sew it on like a patch, when you wash and dry that, what will happen is that new piece will shrink, and it will tear away, and it will make the hole bigger than it was. You'll be worse off than had you not put it on. You'll make things worse if you do it at the wrong time. And so we just want to make sure we're doing this at the right time and the right way. It wasn't that Jesus was against fasting. He just was at that time for that reason. He made the statement, and Pastor Kathleen reminded me of this earlier last week. Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. When you fast. And if I'm just left up to my own devices, I won't get to fasting. But if we schedule it, and if we plan it, if we're intentional on it, that's what we're doing. The right thing, hopefully at the right time, the right way, with the right heart. For some, when we talk about fasting, it's going to be easier than others. For me, I find it very, very easy to fast right until we start. I make all kinds of commitments and decisions and rational choices, and then we start. And then for the life of me, I can't figure out why we're doing this. Why was this a good idea? For some, you may fast a day. For some, a few days. For some, it might be a meal. Some, it might be a meal every day. I'm going to fast every breakfast or every supper. For some, you may not be able to fast at all. Food, maybe dietary things, there may be medication. It just may not be wise for you. But there are other things that you can take away. You can fast social media. The time that you would normally spend on Facebook, on Insta, on TikTok, whatever, or binge watching something, could we take that time and spend with the Lord? This is what I think, and I'm going to come up with five things about fasting. Everyone can participate. In some way, everyone can participate. This is not Lent. We're not giving something up. We're giving ourselves to. Let's focus on what we're giving ourselves to. Here are five battles that we can face when we're fasting. We'll have some scriptures tied to this. Number one, there's a physical battle when you deny yourself food. Withdrawal, you might experience of caffeine or sugar, get a headache, feel crummy. You can find ways to rationalize that. Listen, food gives us energy. If you just eat something, I'm just tired and run down, I just need a snack, you'll feel better. You have some more strength. Scripturally, I mean, we learned that when Elijah was fleeing from Jezebel, it says this in 1 Kings 19. Then the angel of the Lord came back the second time, touched him, and said, "Arise, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." Eat. You need strength for the journey. Go ahead and have something to eat. When Jesus was with the disciples and the multitude had been following him, they had been unintentionally fasting for 3 days. Watch what it says. Matthew 15, 32. Now Jesus called his disciples and said, called to himself and said, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." There's nothing for them to eat. Whether they hadn't eaten for 3 days or not, it doesn't say that, but just that there's nothing here for them to eat. And I do not want them to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Right? Food gives us strength. But my hope is this, is that we can discover another strength, another source of strength, a spiritual source, listen, a spiritual source that impacts our physical bodies. Watch this, Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That we discover in our time with the Lord, in drawing away with him, that we are actually not weaker, but we're stronger. Secondly, there is an emotional battle. Much like if you don't get enough sleep, you can be a little edgy. Your emotions can become more raw. I know for me, if I have trouble sleeping on a Friday night and Saturday night and I show up here on a Sunday morning, I'm in trouble because I know my emotions are right at the surface. Usually they're tears. And if I'm talking about meaningful things, out come the tears. And it's not necessarily the Holy Spirit, it's I'm tired. And I haven't slept and my emotions get there. That can happen when we don't have food. We call that a condition. You know what it's called? Hangry. Hangry. It's that you get angry. I can't tell you the number of times Audrey has said to me, not during a fast, but other times, will you please have something to eat? Hangry can show up as testy, short fuse, snarky, snurky, or jerky, whatever it is. My hope is that we get jerky. Yeah. Not that kind of... My hope is that we can find another source of joy and peace and contentment that comes from his presence. Psalm 16:11 will tell us this, you will show me the path of life, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's in his presence we can find joy. Isaiah 26:3 said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. There's a perfect, because he trusts in you. And Galatians 5:22 will talk about the evidence of God's Spirit in our life, working in our life, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness, just the fruit of the Spirit. There's a mental battle, and I think this might be one of the hardest. There's a physical battle, there's an emotional battle, there's a mental battle. One of the hardest fought battles, and appears lots of reasons why you don't need to fast. Doesn't make any sense. And I struggle with this. It just doesn't make any sense. How does not having lunch impact my spiritual life? Well, that's right. If it's just not having lunch, if it's just going hungry, it's not going to. But if you take that time and spend with the Lord, there's going to be a benefit and there's going to be a reward. I've come up with lots of reasons why to modify my commitments. That's why I write them down and that's why I show them to my family. Here's my commitment. We also need to remember that fasting mentally wasn't our idea, it was his. And we're saying yes to this season, churches all across our world. Why does it work? What difference does it make? His thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. So we just simply say yes. And we remember that this is scriptural, but it's also seasonal. It's just a week. There's just a time that we're taking. So we take every thought captive and think, I can get through this. Colossians tells us this. Colossians 3 says, if you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And I quote this scripture. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. You can get through the mental battle. Set your mind on things above, not on things beneath. There's a spiritual battle. Let us settle this point right now. The devil does not want us to fast. He doesn't want us to fast. He doesn't want us to pray, and he doesn't want us in God's word. And there is a spiritual battle, and he will pull out all the stops, and if he can't derail you, he will distract you. He will distract you. Spending our time with God instead of eating lunch or eating breakfast, whatever it is, taking that time, the devil does not want us to do that. Drawing away from God, drawing away from food and drawing near to God, the devil does not want us to do that. And the very first temptation that we see in the wilderness, when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted for 40 days, and scripture says afterward he was hungry. Watch what happens in Matthew. Matthew 4, verses 1 to 3, it says this: Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. This is not a denial that, oh, I'm not hungry. And was hungry. Now, when the tempter came, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be turned to bread. If you are who you say you are, command these stones to be turned to bread. Just eat something. And we know that it was tempting for Jesus. That was the whole point of this. A legit temptation. And Jesus will respond by quoting scripture. Deuteronomy, he'll say, and unfolds a story. Moses talking to the people of Israel in the wilderness. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger. He allowed you to hunger. And fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The temptation would go on, and the devil would quote scripture as well. He'll give his angels charge over you in all your ways. In your hands, he'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The devil can use scripture too. He's been twisting it for years. Turn these stones to bread was the temptation. And do you know what the temptation was? I really think it is. Break your fast on my terms. Break your fast on the devil wanted Jesus to break his fast on the devil's terms, on the devil's timeline. Don't break your fast on the devil's terms. The temptation is this: go ahead, turn these ingredients into a lasagna. No. We submit to God, we resist the devil. And guess what happens in those moments where we submit to God, we resist the devil? He'll flee. He will flee. You will get through it. Fasting is spiritual, fasting is a spiritual act, and there is spiritual warfare involved because the enemy of our souls doesn't want us to do it. Somehow, even this is the horrible part. Wouldn't it be a waste if we just went without food? And we just focused on we're going without food? If he can distract us, he can derail us. It's not just to focus on what we're giving up. It's focus on what we're giving ourselves to. And then lastly, there's a social battle. Keeping fasting private. How do we navigate through that in the course of a week when there's different functions, different events, different people? Hey, you want to go for coffee? Whatever, when we gather together. How do you graciously do that? It's not a contest. Watch what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. It says, Moreover, when you fast, there's the text, when you do it. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces as they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you don't appear to men to be fasting. But to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you fast, don't fast like them, making a big show of it. Wash your faith. Wash your faith. Wash your face. Get out of your pajamas. Don't look pathetic. Don't look like you have a man cold. Audrey knows when I'm really sick. Because when I'm not really sick, can you get me a drink of water? But when I'm really sick, I can go. I'm still going to work. I can get it. But just this, don't look pathetic. Because it says about those people, they will have their reward, recognition from people. But that's not why we're doing it. We're not doing this for an award. We're doing this for a reward. Because God said to Abram, I am your exceedingly great reward. I am. We're not choosing to fast for an award. We're choosing to fast for the reward of being with him. Abram, I'm your exceedingly great reward. The Lord is a rewarder of those who seek him. Seek him while he may be found. May we give ourselves to this time of prayer and fasting.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.